All right, again, thank you for bearing with us here. A little bit of technical difficulty this morning, but it's a great joy and opportunity to know that we can be together and worship together, fellowship together, however the Lord allows us to do that. Sometimes our plans are set aside, and that's a great thing. It gives opportunity for the Spirit to truly do what He wants to do, and that recognition this morning that our plans sometimes just don't line up with what the Lord had, and that's okay. As we want to be in the will and the plan of God this morning. I was reminded this morning, just thinking about that opportunity to look at that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I wonder this morning, in our heart and life today, what a day to think about opportunity to have a friend in Jesus. What our world needs today. I was thinking as we sung those verses there, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? And I think probably without a doubt today we would say yes. There's trials, there's temptations, there is trouble all over the place, maybe in our minds and our hearts today, but we should never be discouraged, that second verse says. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And I would encourage you this morning as we're in an attitude of worship and service to the Lord this morning, that we truly would be in an attitude of prayer. That we would be excited to know that there's a God that is not surprised by anything in our life, any situation or challenge or difficulty that we're faced with, that we are just resting in Jesus Christ, that in times of struggle and difficulty that we can pray, and that we can know that our Heavenly Father hears our prayers according to the Word of God. And that's something to celebrate this morning. As we go to the Lord this morning in His Word, I would ask that you would pray with me and then we'll open His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your presence in this place. Lord, the presence of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives in every home and every place that is listening via the internet this morning. Lord, we're grateful to have that capability and opportunity. We know that it is truly something that you have provided for us. Lord, we're grateful to know that we have that capability today, and we just trust that your Holy Spirit would move and work in every heart and every life. Lord, I pray, just as we have sung this morning, Lord, that although there are times of trial and struggle and difficulty, there are questions and worries and fears, Lord, that we can come before you in an attitude of prayer. Lord, in an expectance of knowing that you know every detail of our lives today. Lord, I pray this morning now as we open your word and fellowship and study of your word, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, I pray most of all that you would just speak your words through me, and that today, Lord, as your church, that we might receive your message as you have it for us. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. If you got your Bibles this morning, I would ask you to turn back to the book of Philippians with me. Philippians chapter 1. We were there last time together. We're going to pick up where we left off. Philippians chapter 1. In verse number 20, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi here, and as a reminder, as we studied together last time, it's encouraging to think about that there was a situation in the life of Paul where he was faced with challenge, he was faced with difficulty, he was, according to the word as we read it last time, in a prison cell, in a place of confinement, and honestly what we would consider seclusion, but not alone. When we have the Holy Spirit living in our life, and Paul brings great challenge to the church to consider some of these things, says even in his bonds that it was according to the will and to the plan of God that he would preach and teach the Word of God, that it would turn out to the salvation of others. That is the desire and the heart of our church and us individually today, that others would know Jesus Christ. In verse number 20 of chapter 1 of Philippians, we go on, according to my earnest expectation, he says, and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And Paul had a unique situation, something that probably many of us as individuals will not face in our life today, thankfully. If the Lord so chooses for us to be in that position, that would be a great opportunity for us. But Paul lived in a situation in his life in a prison cell where he continually looked for opportunity to honor Jesus Christ, to honor our Heavenly Father. And as we see it in verse 20 there, he says, it's my earnest expectation. This morning, I would wonder, in the heart and the life of the church, what is our earnest expectation? I was thinking about this verse this week, just thinking about the earnest expectation of many Americans today is to get out of the house, right? To be back to normal life, to be doing some of the things that we would consider normal. Whatever that might look like for you, I think probably every one of us have been altered a little bit in our life from some certain things, but we have an expectation of things to come. Whatever that might look like in the days ahead, we don't necessarily know, but we know spiritually that God has set out some very distinct things for us in the church and for this world. And there ought to be an earnest expectation for the things of God. I think this morning when we consider it in the life of the church, God has outlined the things that we are dealing with very literally in our lives today as an opportunity for us to see Jesus, to see the movement of Jesus Christ in our life and to know that He is alive and working in the heart of the church. And Paul had an expectation. He said, it's my earnest expectation. And then he goes on, and my hope. He said he not only had an expectation, but he had a hope of something, and hope truly is of things that we have not seen, right? And today, this morning in the life of the church, I would encourage you to have a hope for the unseen things of God. Have a hope in your life this morning of the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life, in the life of the church, all over this great country that we live in, that we would see a movement of our God like we've never seen before. And Paul was praying for this very same thing. My hope that he says that in nothing I shall be ashamed. And Paul brings us to a reminder in these verses this morning in the life of the church that we not be ashamed of the things of God. That we not be ashamed of the movement of Jesus Christ in our life, that we would not be fearful of the things that are happening today in our life, but that we would be confident in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And today, this morning, when we think about our lives as individual Christians, it is often very easy for us in human nature to become ashamed of some of the things that we see even in the Word of God. And we may not recognize it, we may not believe it this morning in our own lives, we may not even want to recognize those areas of our life today where we have been ashamed of the things of God. Paul brings a thought here for us that we would be confident in those things, be not ashamed, but that with all boldness, he says, as always. I wonder this morning in the heart and the life of the church, if that is the condition and the situation in our life, that we are always looking for opportunity to share with others the hope of Jesus Christ. That we are always excited about the movement of Jesus Christ in our life and excited about what is happening. He says that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. We consider for a minute as Paul's writing here to the church at Philippi that he has a desire in his heart that God would be magnified in his body in a prison cell. That when others would see Paul in his life and in his relationship with the Lord, they would see the movement of God like they've never seen before. For those of you that are on Facebook, you just got tossed upside down. I did not fall over sideways. That was the camera. But that might have been a movement of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced this morning the Spirit is on the move because the devil does not want us to give credit and glory to God today. But we're going to continue to do that. We're going to trust that God will work and move. Think about this verse. Paul says, in all boldness, as always, today as the church, that we would boldly come before the Lord. We'd be committed to the things of God, and we'd live in relationship with the Lord. Christ shall be magnified in my body. He says that when people look at Paul's life, whether he was on the streets preaching and teaching the Word of God, whether he was in a prison cell, confined, chained, as we see it honestly in the context of these verses, Paul found himself very literally chained to one individual 24 hours a day. He was in a situation in guard in his life where he could not be left alone. And in all of the details of that, Paul says, I want God to be magnified. And I wonder this morning in our heart and our life today as a church, do you want to magnify God with your life? Do you want God to look into your heart, into your life, and to see a faithful servant of Jesus Christ? And do we have a burden in the heart and the life of the church today to just let others in this world see Jesus Christ for who He is? In every situation of our life, in every difficult challenge that we might find, whether he says it be by life or by death. Now, Paul brings us to a reminder in the context of these verses that he was ready physically to see his life end if that's what God desired. For most of us today, that's probably not the case. I would say honestly in my own mind, my own heart today, I would like to stay on this earth if God so chooses today. I would like to do that. I have desires in my heart. I'd like to be with my family. I'd like to be with my friends. I'd like to be with my church family. I'd like to see what God is going to do in the days ahead. If He chose for that not to be the case for me, I could praise God that I know because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd be in heaven anyways. And when I got to heaven, I'd be celebrating with family and friends just alike. But I, in my human nature, would like to stay right here on this earth. I'd like to continue on with some of the things that I know God has called for in my life. And I think for most of us today, that's the condition we find ourselves in. Paul says, even though he was in a prison cell, he says, I want to be committed to God. And my life committed to God. And he says, whether Christ be magnified because I die, or whether he's magnified because I'm alive, I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do. And what it would look like today in the life of the church if that was our heart and our life. In every area and every detail of our life, he says in verse 24, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If we look in the original text, those words, for some of you in your Bible, that word is might be italicized. That means that's not an original part of the text. Very literally, the original text would have simply read, just as we read it, read it there this morning, excuse me, for to me to live Christ and to die gain. We take out that simple little word is, it kind of changes our mind and our thoughts a little bit as Christians. But you think about it today, the context of that verse is simply for me to live Christ. And the call for the church today, when we consider our life on this earth, is to live Christ. In every detail of our lives, that our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, our daily conversations, the way that we live in our homes, the way we live in the workplace, the way we spend our money, the way we spend our time and our talents and our abilities is simply Christ. When people look at the church today, do they see Jesus Christ? This morning, when individuals look at me, when they look at you as Christians, do they see Jesus Christ? Or do they see an individual, do they see a human being striving to be something that we really are not? And the warning that comes for the church today is to be Christ. To be an example of Jesus Christ in our life today. In every area of our life. Every second of every day of our lives, that our thoughts and our ideas are focused on being Christ to the world around us. And if we really consider what it means to be Christ today, then we cannot see anything but, first of all, sacrifice. And love. When we look at Christ, we see love beyond anything in this world. We see a God that loved us so much. That as we just celebrated in a time of Easter, we celebrated the death of a Savior on a cross, and we celebrated the resurrection of a Savior. That's Christ. And in our hearts and lives this morning in the church, we have to live Christ. And Paul says there in the next part of the verse, to die, gain. Now for the church this morning, that we would understand today, that what is it that we're going to gain, right? When we think about death physically on this earth, it doesn't really bring the idea that we're gaining anything. But really, when we come to understanding this morning in our heart and life as believers, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've gained everlasting life. You've gained everything that God has promised to us. We've gained the picture of heaven that God has given to us in His Word. That we have never any more separation from Jesus Christ. That we have eternal fellowship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That we walk the streets of gold. We see the majesty and the power of the God that we've been worshiping on this earth our entire life. And we do it for eternity. We can't really fathom eternity. When we put it into human perspective, we just can't gather it because we don't know. Our physical bodies say we know when life is, when life begins. We see the picture of a young child being born and we celebrate birth. We see the body laying in a casket in a funeral service and we see the end of life. And that's where our mind normally goes to. We go to this picture of life for us. We consider today what life is like when we know Jesus Christ. It's everlasting. And it's joy and it's hope and it's peace. And Paul understood that very detail. Sitting in the prison cell, he says, for me to live is Christ. I'm living Christ today. But if I choose in my life to do something different, we're not honoring God. Now Paul says, I live Christ today, and if I'm living on this earth, then people are seeing Jesus Christ. And I hope this morning in the heart and the life of the church, that's your desire. That when others see you, they see Jesus. When they see you, they see the love of Jesus Christ. and they see the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and they see something that only God could bring. If it is for us death on this earth, we celebrate life in heaven. In eternity, he says, but great gain. That he says there in verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I want not. Paul brings us to a reminder in this verse. He says, if I continue to live in the flesh, I don't know what to choose. I would rather to be with God in heaven or to be with you on this earth. And Paul is writing to the church at Philippi in the context of these verses. He's writing to brothers and sisters in Christ, and he had a fellowship with a body of believers like we don't really understand today. Cannot express to you as the church family what it has been like for me as your pastor to not be together with church family. It is a struggle for me. Daily, it is a struggle for me because I am in fellowship with you, whether you realize it or not. It's a part of my life. It's part of who God created me to be as a pastor. And you as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's my hope that you have that same understanding that God desires us to be together. He created us to be together. And this situation and a separation in the midst of the world we're living in today is much more than just simply being separated physically. But we're separated like God really didn't intend us to be. And Paul understood that relationship with the church, and he talks about it in these verses. But I live in the flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. He said, we're living in the flesh. Paul looks at the church at Philippi and the church today as we consider it is the fruit of his labor. He diligently worked for the things of God in his heart and in his life. I wonder what it might look like this morning in the life of the church if that was the goal and the desire of every believer in this universe. We would come to the place of understanding Jesus Christ, and that the labor of our life today would be about being in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ and being in unity with the Holy Spirit. Paul understood something that I think most of us as believers don't even comprehend today. He says, in the evidence of the life of his flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. He says, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. He was in a position in his life. Thinking about it, just from a standpoint of Paul's physical life here in a prison cell. He says, man, I don't know if I'd rather go to heaven than sit in this prison cell, or if I'd rather be out of prison and be with you. But I know I want to do what God's called me to do. And for that moment, that very instant, as we're reading this letter, as Paul was writing it to the church at Philippi, he was living a life right where God wanted him to be, in prison. And today in the life of the church, even though we might not like where we are physically, where we may not like the circumstances of life that we're in right at this moment, if you're a child of God and you're obediently following him, you're exactly where God has called you to be. And it's what we do in that situation that matters most. What I choose not, he says in verse 23, he found himself in a situation. He says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul says he had a dilemma. You ever had a dilemma in your life? Ever had a day in your life when you thought, man, what really am I supposed to do? Right? Where am I supposed to be going? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Where is God leading me? You consider just for a servant of Jesus Christ, as Paul was actively walking this earth, preaching and teaching the Word of God, leading others to salvation in Jesus Christ, establishing churches that were going to do the same. And then to be thrown into a prison cell, chained to a guard 24 hours a day. Paul says, man, I got a struggle. I don't know what I'd rather do. I don't know if I'd rather stay here chained to this guard in misery and difficulty in this physical flesh, or if I'd rather be in heaven. To depart and be with Christ, he says, look what he says, it's far better. I wonder this morning, in the heart and the life of the church, is that the focus of you and I as a church today? Would it be far better for us to be in heaven? Hopefully the answer is yes in your heart. Right? Hopefully, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, you would know it would be far better to be with Jesus today than to be in this world and in this flesh. And I know that's a difficult concept. It's a difficult thought to say it'd be better to be in heaven than to be with our friends and our family and be living this life that we are so eagerly trying to live today. Will you consider today what it means to be in the presence of Jesus Christ and to set our focus on the things of heaven? And Paul is calling for a challenge to the church at Philippi and to the church this morning as we read these verses to put our mind and our heart on heaven. To put our focus on the things of eternity that are going to last and stop focusing on the things of this world. And we can live this life and we can go through life today living as we need to live. There are certain things we just have to do. And while we're on this earth, those are things that are necessary. And we're going to do those things. But I wonder this morning in the heart of the believer today, would it change your life Monday through Saturday and Sundays too if you were focused on Jesus Christ 100%? If we were focused on eternity this morning in the life of the church, if our entire focus of our life was on knowing Jesus Christ and being in fellowship with Him on this earth and then celebrating what it's going to be like to be with Him in heaven, would it change how you live today? If your heart and your life was focused on Jesus Christ this morning in eternity, then your thoughts would be focused on eternity. Then your mind would change what you do. Your heart would be changed. A couple of things that would automatically change. First of all, if you're focused on Jesus Christ this morning, you can't be focused on anything else, right? If you're truly focused on Jesus Christ and what it means to know Him and to celebrate everlasting life with Jesus Christ, then you can't be 100% focused on anything else. We'd be focused on Jesus Christ and what He's doing in our life, then our jobs would be different, right? We'd get up and go to work knowing that what we're doing today is just simply an opportunity for us to get to heaven. Knowing that what we're doing out in the world today in relationships with our family and our friends is about Jesus Christ. Knowing when to get up and go to work tomorrow morning, if you're allowed to do that right now, you get up and go about the things that you're doing, it's about Jesus Christ and not you. It's not about your relationships with your co-workers. It's about you and your relationship with Jesus and helping them to see Jesus. It's not about making the most money you can make. It's not about building the biggest house you can build or having the fanciest of material possessions. It's not about all of those things that we're focused on this morning. It's about Jesus Christ and eternity. Paul understood it like none other, and we consider this morning in the life of the church that it's a call for us. He said he was in a position. I don't know what to do. I'm in a strait betwixt, having a desire to depart. Paul had a true, genuine desire to be with Jesus. And it's a call for us as believers today to have a desire to be with Jesus today. Be in fellowship with Him, which is far better. Nevertheless, in verse 24, he says, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says, for me, I have a desire to be with Jesus. But right now, at this moment, he says, as he's writing to the church at Philippi, it's more needful for me to be here with you. Why? The same reason that it's needful for the church to be here today. I want you to recognize this morning, there is a need for the church. I know the world says differently. I know that we might consider today that the world would like us to think that the church is useless. And that the body of Christ is not really that important. And we're hearing that message day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year in the world we're living in. The church today, the consideration of the church is not a building, right? The church is a body of individuals in relationship with Jesus Christ. And if the world today has no need of a body of believers that are faithfully sharing the word of Jesus Christ, then we wouldn't be here today. It is needful for the church today for us to be on this earth, or God would have taken us home already. Now is the opportunity that the church has. Now is the opportunity for you as a brother and sister in Christ to consider what is God desiring for you in your life today. Where is He calling for you? What is He asking of you to do in your life? Who in your life, just for consideration this morning in your own individual life, think for just a minute of somebody you know in your own individual life that you have a relationship with on a regular basis that doesn't know the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. I would dare say that there's not one of us in this room or listening today that doesn't know somebody that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a need. The church is needed today, like they've never been needed before. And the church has an opportunity and a responsibility like we've never had before. Paul recognized that need. He says in that verse, it's more needful right now in this moment. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Why? So that the ministry could continue on, that the gospel could be shared. Having this confidence, verse 25, Paul says, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Now he gives us a description. Paul says, I'm alive, and I'm alive because God has chosen for me to be alive. And for you today, you're alive because God has chosen for you to still be here. And I know people like to make this thought in their mind and a consideration in their life that you have control of your life. You have no control. We don't have control today, despite what the world says. You can do the best you can do, right? You can take care of yourself. You can quarantine yourself to make yourself healthy. You can eat all the right foods and do all the right things, exercise your body, and do everything the world says is what is going to give you a long life. And if God chose for you to be the healthiest person on this universe, you'd still die if He said it was time for you to die. We don't have any ability today apart from God allowing us to be here, living and breathing this morning. It's a message that our world needs to hear today. I know that the normal thought process in our life says, hey, you know what? I'm making choices. I'm making decisions. And you might be making choices and you might be making decisions. You recognize this morning that it is all in line with the plan of God the Father for your life and for my life. And Paul says in this very specific verse, having this confidence. Paul had confidence because he was still alive. He says, I'm confident of this very thing because I'm still here. I know that I shall abide and continue with you. And look what he says, for the furtherance, right? We are here so that the word of God can be furthered. We're alive today so that the message of Jesus Christ could be spread. So that it could be shared in your life, in your family's life, in your friend's life, in your co-workers, in the stranger down the street. That's why the church exists still today. That's why we're still on this planet. For the furtherance, and look what he says, and for the joy of faith. And unfortunately, for some reason today, the church has lost its joy. Jesus has not gone anywhere. Our Heavenly Father is still on His throne. And the joy of Jesus Christ is still a part of the life of the church today. We need to be focused to those things and trusting in Jesus Christ this morning. He says it's important. Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul had a desire in his heart to be with his brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ought to have desire today to be together, to fellowship together, to encourage one another, to love one another, to be the church God's called us to be. The rejoicing may be more abundant, he says. Paul had a prayer in his life that the joy of Jesus Christ might grow. And it ought to be the desire of the church today that the joy of Christ would abound. That when we look at the world today, when we look at our community here in Fowler, when we look at the Arkansas Valley that we live in the state of Colorado, that we would pray for the abundance of Jesus Christ. That we would pray for the abundance of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that we might come together. He says that we might come again to you. Only, he says in verse 27, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Paul, even sitting in a prison cell, continues to teach his brothers and sisters in Christ, let your conversation be about Jesus. Now I challenge your heart this morning to consider, what is the conversation of your life? What does it look like? What does it sound like? Does it sound like Jesus? Is the actions and the attitudes of your life about Jesus Christ this morning? Is it about living a life obedient to Him? Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the good news of a Savior that died on a cross and rose again. That's what it means. The gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, look what he says, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul says, I just want to hear the same thing about you, whether I'm where with you, whether I'm not with you. Man, what if that was the desire of the church today? Wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we do, that we could celebrate. That we could rejoice. That we could celebrate the things of God. That our conversation would be about Jesus Christ and the gospel. that I may hear of your affairs. Paul says that I might hear of your actions and your life. And we might hear of each other this morning when we hear about our friends and our neighbors and our church family. We hear about those things. We hear about the gospel. We hear about the truth of Jesus Christ. We hear about brothers and sisters that are living obediently. That you stand fast in the Spirit today. I would challenge your heart this morning in the church to stand fast in your faith. Stand fast in your relationship. You consider, what does it mean to stand fast? In my mind, it brings this thought of standing without being able to be moved. Just very quickly, in my thought, as I think about standing fast, I think about somebody standing in wet concrete, not being able to move. You ever stepped in some wet concrete or some of that mud? We don't have a lot of mud in our area. I know it's kind of dry around here. You ever stepped down in the mud and never been able to move? You get your foot stuck in there, and then you find yourself in a spot where you just got to take your foot out of the shoe you're in because your shoe is now stuck. You can't move. There's a call in the Scripture for the church to stand fast in the truth of Jesus Christ. We stick our feet in the foundation of Jesus Christ and we not move from that. We would rejoice in relationship with Jesus Christ today. That in the obstacles of life, in this turmoil and situation that we face right now, that the church would still be the church. And we'd faithfully proclaim the word of Jesus Christ and we'd stand strong on it no matter what the world says. No matter what our government might ever come to the place of telling us, no matter what any other individual might tell us, no matter what the world around us might think, that there's a God above this universe that loves every human being on this earth. And He loved us so much that He sent His Son for us. He says, stand fast in one spirit. He gives us that internal thought of our spirit. Then He says, in our mind. Now I wonder this morning in the life of the church, how often does your mind wander from the things of God? How often does your mind get distracted in the things of this world? I don't know about you, but my mind gets distracted pretty easily. There's things in this world that just, my thoughts move in a different direction and I can be swayed very quickly in my thoughts. Paul's challenge to the church at Philippi and to the church this morning is to stand strong in our relationship with Jesus Christ, that our minds and our thoughts would be focused on Jesus Christ. And look what he says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He says, stand fast, get your mind straight, and then what does he say? Strive together. That should bring this understanding this morning in the life of the church that being a Christian takes work. That word strife does not bring the idea that it's easy, does it? Strife is conflict. Strife is difficulty. And today as the church, we ought to expect strife. We ought to expect difficulty and challenge. Nowhere can we find in Scripture. If you get very serious about your study of the Word of God, you're not going to find commitment to Jesus Christ and ease of life. It doesn't go together. Not in any way. Not in any fashion. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is difficult. Being committed to the truth of Jesus Christ and living in relationship with Him is not easy. But God promises throughout His Word that He will be there with us. That He will guide us through it. That we can rest in strength and ability that's not our own. And that's the challenge that Paul brings to the church at Philippi. That we would strive together. What? Strive together for the faith of the gospel, that we would strive. He says that we would strive, and here's the message for the world that we're living in today. When strife comes, what normally happens? Human nature says, I'm struggling, I'm going to go to my secret little quiet place and not tell anybody about it and try to figure that out on my own, right? That's human nature. I'll figure it out. Leave me alone. I'll get it figured out. I'll work it out on my own, and when everything's good, I'll let you know, right? What does Paul say? Strive together. If you're hurting and struggling today, share it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Share it with your church family. Get in relationship in the life of the church. Be committed to the truth of Jesus Christ and know that you're not called to strive on your own. We're not called to struggle through life all on our own. We're called to come together and be the church that God's called us to be. In a life today, this morning, when we're struggling in difficulty, we ought to be able to rely on each other. Call out on each other. Don't go to your dark room and hide out. Strive together. But not for our own will, right? But for faith. Together for the faith of the gospel. What are we striving for? for Jesus Christ. And in nothing, he says in verse 28, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token, what? Of perdition. You see what he says there? Now our adversaries are brought into this. Our adversary, this morning I want you to know and understand something very simple from the Word of God. An adversary of the church is anything that is in opposition to Jesus Christ. Anything. And we might gravitate toward this idea that an adversary is an individual. There's a lot of things that are in contradiction to the Word of God. And Paul brings a challenge to the church to consider that terrified by your adversary in nothing that we're terrified. Right? That means our hope is in Jesus today. And there's not an adversary in this world that is stronger or mightier than our God. There's no conflict or difficulty in our world, which to them, he says, is an evident token of perdition. What does that mean? He says, for your adversary today, for the church today, when there is worry and fear in your life, when there is contradiction in your life to the things of Jesus Christ, it's an evidence to the world that you've got sin in your life. You think about it today, you didn't think that the world recognizes sin in the life of the believer, but they do, right? An evidence of that perdition means that there's an evidence that you don't really believe in the God that you say lives in your life. It just got personal, right? Paul just made it personal for the church. When we're willing to be consumed by the struggle and difficulty of this world, when you're living your life this morning in worry and fear and doubt, no matter what it is, you're worried this morning about your life, you're worried about your circumstances, your financial situation, you're worried about your physical health, you're worried about other relationships, you're worried about all of those things, it's an evidence of the sin condition of your life. That's what Paul says very plainly. For the church today, worry causes that sin. Because it brings to our mind that we're no longer trusting in the Jesus that we say we believe in. In the heart and the life of the believer today, we should not be consumed with worry and fear. We should trust in Jesus Christ. Paul says it's an evidence to those that are outside. But to you, he says, of salvation and that of God. Right? Think about it. We're not terrified by our adversary. It's an evidence that we're a child of God when we stand truth on the Word of God. It's an evidence today that you're a follower of Jesus Christ that you can stare coronavirus in the face and say, I believe in God more than I believe in that. I believe in God over my financial situation. I believe in God over all of those relationship problems I have. I believe in God over my job and my security of who I've created myself to be. And God's calling for the church to believe in Him like they've never believed before. Stand strong in the Word of Jesus Christ. It's an evidence of your salvation when you trust Jesus above everything else. And it's an evidence to the world today that our world needs to see. Your friends, your family, your lost co-workers, your neighbors down the street, they need to see today that you believe in the God that you say lives in your life. And they're going to see that through your actions. They're going to see it in your attitude. They're going to see it in your lifestyle. How you live your life, where you go, what you do, how you spend your money, and we're going to get personal this morning, right? How we do all of those things is an evidence that Jesus is our priority today. Where you're spending your Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is an evidence that God is your priority. That you've set aside some time to be committed to Him. For unto you, he says in verse 29 of that chapter, it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. Paul brings us as a reminder in these verses for the church today that we would consider verse 28, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. And I wonder this morning if, as a believer, you even have a clue what it means to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. For the vast amount of Christians today, we will never go that far. The vast amount of Christians, we would stop short of our relationship with Jesus Christ if it meant I had to suffer today. In whatever area of our life that is. You consider this morning, that's a message for you personally. That's a decision in your heart, in your life. Would you go to that place of suffering? So that Christ could be magnified in your life? Would you go to a financial struggle in your life if it was going to honor God? Would you go to a physical place of suffering if you knew that that's what God laid out for you in your life? Would you go to a prison cell and be chained to a guard 24 hours a day if that's what God called for you to do in your life? Would you give up all of the physical things of this life that you've been working so diligently for if that's what God asked for today? Would you walk across the street and tell a neighbor that you've never talked to before that there's a God that loves them, that sent a son to die on a cross for them? Would you give up some of the things that are so normal so that Jesus could be honored? So that God the Father could be magnified in the life of His church today? Look what he says. There should be suffering. Having the same conflict. Paul says, not only is there suffering, but that you would come to the same conflict that he just told us about. The conflict that Paul lived in that prison cell as he was writing to the church at Philippi was that he didn't know what to do. His conflict was that he wanted to be in fellowship with his brothers and sisters in Christ, but he much more wanted to be in heaven with Jesus. He much more wanted to be in that place of worship and fellowship with God the Father. He says, in the heart of the church today, we ought to be in that conflict. We ought to be in that situation of conflict this morning where our priority is in being in heaven with God the Father. But until He chooses for that in your life and in my life, we've got work to do. First, most important thing we do is get right with Jesus Christ. We come to saving relationship with Him ourselves. Then we begin to live that. We begin to tell it to others. And we live a life committed to Jesus Christ in every area of our life. I don't know what God's calling for you to do in your life, but I know the Spirit is working and moving today. I'm convinced without a doubt that God's Holy Spirit is working and moving because everything we try to do fell apart today. Praise God. That His Spirit is still working. Is the Lord working in your life today? Is He calling for you to do something? Just as we always do, for those of you that are on the internet watching, we're going to have a time of invitation. For those that are here in the church, it's a time of invitation. What that means is God is inviting you to do something with your life today. Would you make a commitment to Him today? I don't know what it is. For some of you, you maybe have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never truly understood what it meant. Today, you understand what it means. It means that you're a sinner. And the only cure for your sin is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. To confess that you have sinned and ask Jesus to come into your heart, to your life, to be the Lord of your life. From this day forward, you'd make a commitment. This invitation time, that's time for you to do that. I don't know if you're not here with us, if you're in your home, you're in your car, you're just listening, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, there's an invitation from the Holy Spirit today to do what God's called you to do. Maybe you've done just what we've talked about. Maybe you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you haven't done what's next. The Bible says the very next step after you've been saved is to follow in believer's baptism. I drained the baptistry the other day because it was getting kind of gross. The water was a little gross. It was starting to smell. It looked a little weird. I didn't think anybody wanted to get baptized in that just yet. But I'll fill it up today. If God's calling you to be baptized, we'll have it filled in an hour. And the church doors will be open if you want to come and get baptized. We'll do it right now. And God will be honored and glorified. Would you make a commitment to Him to do it today? Maybe God's calling you to be a part of this church. You can't physically come and be a part of the church right now. You can spiritually make a commitment to be in the heart and the life of the church. And we can accept you as a member of the church without everybody being together. That's one of those technology things. We've got opportunity. We can make phone calls. We can have discussion. If you want to commit your life to be a part of Solid Rock, come and do it. Call me today. Come find me. We'll social distance in my front yard and we can get serious about doing what God's called us to do. Maybe God's called you to do something else. Maybe you've been hesitating just doing what God's called you to do. He's asked you to do something that you've never done before. And you've been just waiting to do it. Not really sure if it's God. If God's calling in your heart this morning, would you do it? In this invitation, would you make a decision for the Lord today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to be together. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and Your truth. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that despite all the obstacles that we might face in trying to accomplish what we feel You've called us to do here, Lord, Your Holy Spirit is not bound. And I'm praying in this invitation time, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would move and work in the hearts and lives of those that are listening. Lord, in the hearts and the lives of those that are here in this building this morning, Lord, we're confident that Your Spirit is working. I'm confident without a doubt, Lord, that Your Word will not return void. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge in the hearts and the lives of every person this morning that hears this message. Lord, that they'd make a commitment to you, whatever that might be. If there's someone that needs to be saved today, I pray you'd help them to pray that prayer of salvation right now. Lord, if there's somebody that needs to be baptized, I pray that you'd put aside all their doubts and their worries and their fears, their questions about what might happen next after that. Just simply take a step of obedience and do what you've called them to do. Lord, whatever your will is in this place and wherever others might be listening today, we're just going to trust you and believe in your Holy Spirit this morning. And Lord, we're going to be careful, as Paul gave example, to give you all the praise and all the glory and live a life that magnifies God the Father today. We thank you, Lord. We ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. For those of you that are here with us in the building, we're going to turn to 294, Have Thine Own Way. If you're listening, sing with us. If you're worshiping in your home or wherever you might be, would you make a commitment to the Lord today? Those of you that are here with us, stand with me if you will. 294, Have Thine Own Way. Take part in our worship service this morning. If God has moved and worked in your heart and your life this morning, if you're not here, you made a decision for Christ today, reach out, be in contact with me. We want to know and celebrate what God is doing in your life with you. Don't hesitate at all. Give me a call. Come find me. We want to know what God is doing in your heart and your life and help you to follow through in the decisions that God's called you to make. Continue to pray for each other. Continue to know and be reminded without a doubt that you are loved and you are prayed for. And we're going to continue to trust God to lead us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for your love and your direction in our life. We thank you, Lord, for opportunity to worship you. I thank you, Lord, for your most holy word and the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, Lord, in our hearts and our lives, that we would just be a church that's busy about the work you've called us to be doing. Lord, that we'd be faithful to share the gospel. Lord, through our life, through our commitment to you, Lord, that others would be drawn to you. And Lord, that we might see your church body continue to grow as you have called it to grow. Lord, that we would just be a light and a witness for you in the world around us. And Lord, that we would just celebrate. Lord, that we'd look toward the hope of everlasting life in you. And Lord, that our focus would be on Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen.